Welcome to the Crofton Park Baptist Church podcast. You're listening to The Power of Vision, part of our sermon series, Seeking God's Face. In this message, Reverend Christopher Rose, minister of Crofton Park Baptist Church, reflects on Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, where Moses encounters God in the burning bush. As we hear how God calls Moses by name, reveals his holy presence, and commissions him for his purpose, we are invited to consider what it means to truly see as God sees, and how a fresh vision of God can transform the direction of our lives. We pray that this sermon encourages you to seek God more deeply, listen for his voice, and respond faithfully to his call. Here is Reverend Christopher Rose with The Power of Vision.
In a moment of deep civil unrest, when society was fractured by division and violence and injustice, when racism and fear shaped daily life and lives were being lost, a Baptist minister stepped forward and spoke words that would echo throughout history. Here was his words. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. Yes. I have a dream that one day, even in the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. Yeah. I have a dream. These words are familiar to us. I'm sure you've heard them many times. They are widely regarded as some of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, speeches of modern history. Would you agree?
Yes.
What made it so effective? Why did it land with such force? Why does it still move us today? People have analyzed the language, the rhythm, and delivery, and rightly so. All of that does matter, but beneath the rhetoric, there is something more compelling. Martin Luther King Jr. communicated a vision. A vision. He didn't just describe the problem. He painted a picture of a preferred future. He had a dream. He had a vision. A vision rooted in justice, equality, and deeply biblical imagery, a vision that stirred hope, a vision that invited people to see the world not only as it was, but as it could be. Church, vision is powerful. Vision is powerful. We are beginning this year seeking God, and one of the things that we are seeking God for is for a fresh vision for our lives.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
A fresh vision for our lives. A vision for this church. Church, we want a revelation. We want a revelation. So we seek God for vision. I want you to say these words with me. Lord, give me fresh vision for my life.
Lord, give me fresh vision for my life.
Lord, give me fresh vision for my family.
Lord, give me fresh vision for my family.
And Lord, give us fresh vision for this church.
And Lord, give us fresh vision for this church.
That is our prayer this morning.
Amen.
So what is vision? What is vision? Vision is having a picture of where you want to be. It's about looking not at what can be. So it's about looking at what can be, yes, and seeing now the place that you are not yet in. What vision does? It identifies a gap from where we are to where we want to be. That's vision. The scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. Without revelation, the people, the church, the nation, the family, wander around aimlessly with no discipline and no focus, and ultimately they wither away. But with vision, they live. With vision, with a revelation, they soar. Vision gives the necessary focus to be effective and to thrive. One of the issues that we're facing in our nation, hearing about some of the things we heard today about children stabbing children and all sorts, is because why? I feel that this nation has lost vision. I think our communities have lost vision. And we're now in crisis. And I believe that when crisis comes, the thing that often goes is your vision. Why? Because all attention goes to survival. You're too busy surviving, too busy focused on the here and now. And when crisis goes on for a long time, people just exist. But we are not called to just survive. We are called to thrive. Without vision, we drift. Visionless people grow tired, timid, cautious, afraid to dream, afraid to risk. And when vision is lost, so is the impact we are created to be. Church, vision is important. And I feel that some of us may be in that space this morning. We've been there for years, and we're just surviving. We're just here surviving. We're just getting by. But I want God to stir something here and say, no, I want a vision. I want a fresh vision. Vision is a picture of the future that produces passion. Passion. Do you have passion this morning?
Yes.
Do you have something stirring in you?
Yes.
Fresh vision. I want to quickly talk about what vision does. Vision first gives a conviction of priorities. I remember watching a game at a friend's house on Saturday. I was youth pastor at the time, and I went to my friend's house with his family, and I was sitting there with his brothers and sisters and his dad, and we're there in the front room watching football. And it was a great game. I'm there watching the game, and it was brilliant. I'm like, yeah, this game's brilliant. I'm waiting to finish the end of the game. And all of a sudden, I heard an alarm. And dad said, okay, it's time to pray. Click. You turned the telly off, and the Bibles came out, and it was time to pray. Church, I didn't want to pray. I wanted to watch the football. I'm there like, no, the game is still going on, tell me. No, no. It's time for our family to pray. Every day, every week, every Saturday at this time, we stop and we pray and we read. And I'm going to lie, I was a bit like, God, is that really necessary? Can we pray afterwards? But what I admired about the father, he had a vision for his family. And the vision for his family was, we are going to be a praying and a Bible-believing family. But because of that, he had conviction of his priorities. The game didn't matter.
Yeah.
You can catch the highlights later. But you're in my house, we're going to pray at this time. Straight on the alarm. What vision do you have for your family? What vision do you have for your household? A vision will give you priorities and let you focus that this is my priority. Priority is important because sometimes you can be doing good things, but it is not necessarily God things. The enemy will try to use good things to distract you from what God wants you to do. The bad things, you'll obviously be like, no, I don't want to do that. But he'll bring good things and make you think, do this instead, this is good. But it's distracting you from the vision that God has given you. Vision gives you a conviction in your priorities so that you can remain focused. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing vision gives you, it gives you clarity and focus. Vision helps with your decision making. It reduces your options because you're only going to pick the options that align with your vision. Gives you focus. When you have a vision of yourself having a six pack and muscles, when you have that vision of yourself, when food comes and the KFC comes, you'll be like, no, I don't have that vision yet, though. But when you have that vision of yourself, you will make a certain decision to say, I'm going to put away the junk food because that does not align with the vision I have for myself. When you see your vision in yourself fitting into that dress, you're like, nah. That's why when people get married, I remember losing bare weight before the wedding. Remember what, Chris? Me and my wife, we lost bare weight before the wedding. Why? Because I saw myself, a vision of myself walking in that suit looking dapper. And my wife had a vision of herself fitting in that in the wedding dress and looking good. And well, we lost weight getting ready for the wedding. We put it back on the honeymoon, though, didn't we? But when you have a vision of yourself, you make decisions that align with your vision. You have clarity and focus. And this is important, especially for us as a church. Because sometimes churches can try to be everything to everyone. We've got to do everything. We've got to do everything. We've got to do this project, this program. We've got to do this for the community. We've got to do this. And those can be good things. But what has God called you to do? What is the vision that God has given the church? Because that's what we should be focused on. And that can be hard. But no church can be all things to everyone. It's impossible. As your pastor, I'm saying that there will be some good things that we will have to say no to. There will be some good things that we have to say no to. Why? So we can pour our resources into the God things. Amen?
Yeah.
Into things for our vision. The goal is faithfulness, not busyness. We want to stay true to the vision God has given us. So we resist distraction because we want to have that purpose. We want to reach our purpose so that when we meet God, we want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, busy servant. Well done, good and faithful. You were faithful with the vision that I have given you. Crofton Park, you have been faithful with the vision that I have given you. That's what we want to hear. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
The other thing about vision, it empowers others. It stirs something to let people move. The power of vision moves people into action. Sion told me last week what he was going to do. And he described to me exactly everything he was going to do. I was like, I'm going to sing this song, Pastor Chris. I'm going to go left to right. And I was like, okay. I think go with it. And he comes up, he had a clear vision of what he wanted to do. And what happened? We all moved. I know that's a small example, but vision does that.
Yeah.
When you have a vision on what you want to do, you can bring people towards you. You can bring your family towards you. You can bring the people around you into that vision. Vision puts the match to the fuel that most people carry around in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
People are walking around with fuel in their hearts, ready to do something. And vision is that match that ignites something within them and gets them to move. Church, we are people of hope. We live in a world that feels hopeless sometimes. But because we are people of hope, we have to share the vision of hope that we have. We have to share it. A picture of the hope that Martin Luther King had in a dream, we have a vision for our community. We need to share that because God has given it to us. There are people around you looking for direction. You don't know them. I think I've said this in the past. You don't know who's watching you. They're looking for direction. They're looking for something. be people with vision in every aspect of your life. You are called to have vision. People will follow you because you have vision. Vision will make you into a leader. Amen. The passage we read earlier on is when Moses encounters God and he becomes a man with a vision. The same scripture, Reverend Dover spoke about this at my induction. And I didn't even realize at the time I had already planned to speak on this the next time. So it's good that we're in the scripture. But there is so much in this text that we can apply to our lives to help us become men and women of vision. So Moses is in the desert. He sees a burning bush. Prior to this passage, Moses is living in the past. His mind is in the past. How do we know that? Because if you go to chapter 2, in verse 22, it says he gave his son the name Gershom, which means I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. Moses, he gave his child the name based on his own trauma. Can you imagine that? He gave his child the name based on his trauma. I have become a foreigner in this foreign land. Moses was living in the wounds of his past. He hadn't let go. He was merely just surviving. Like sometimes we can do, just survive. Moses was merely existing, but God gives him a powerful vision that changed everything. And I want to talk about that in this passage. In verse 6, which is up on the screen, God replies and says to Moses, I am God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God makes himself known to Moses and also restores Moses' sense of identity. Moses spent 40 years as an Egyptian and another 40 years in the Midian desert, but God reminds him of his identity. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this is your lineage. And then he lets him know, I am their God, and I will be faithful to you. Why is this important? Because there are many people in this room who may not feel worthy, but a vision of God will remind you of who you are and whose you are. When we ask God for a vision, he will give you a vision that shares with you and lets you know of your identity. You are God. You are God's, and he is yours. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 7, it says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Godly vision comes from God's heart. I have indeed seen the misery of my people, and I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned. Kingdom vision is always birthed from a place of concern. God is not a distant God who does not care about what is happening. He sees, he hears, and he is concerned. Another translation says he knows the suffering. Knows, as in he experiences the suffering that you feel. Kingdom vision is given because God cares and wants you to act. So when God gives you a vision, he is invested in its outcome. Does that make sense? Because he cares, because he's concerned about what's going on, he wants you to act. And he's invested in that. He wants you to carry it out. Church, you have a responsibility to carry out the vision that God has placed in your heart. If God has given you a vision for the children's work, why? It's because God cares about the children that he's called you to do. What is God calling you to do? In verse 8, it says, I have come down to rescue from the land of the Egyptians and bring them out into the land, into a good and spacious land, a land filled with milk and honey. God has given Moses a vision bigger than Moses himself. God will often give you a vision that you cannot do by yourself, that seems outside of your remit. Kingdom vision is always bigger than the person who carries it. The size of your vision is shaped by the size of your view of God. Do we serve a big God?
Yes.
Sometimes when God feels small, our dreams stay small. But if you have a big vision of God, you realize what God can accomplish. You realize what God can do in this world. When we see an all-powerful, almighty God, the one who holds all things in his hands, our perspective changes. And we can be people of vision, of a big vision, because God is big. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is beyond his reach. My God is big. And verse 12 simply says, and God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. It is not you that does it, as Reverend Goldfield said last week, but God that does it. Amen? It is God that does it. So when God gives you a vision, you don't have to worry about what resources you have. It is God that will do it. It is God that will see that vision through. You just have to be obedient. So what is our hindrances to vision? What stops us taking hold of a vision? The first thing is comfort and complacency. Comfort is one of the greatest enemies to vision. When life is predictable and safe, urgency fades and faith shrinks. Because comfort whispers, stay where you are. But vision says, move, take risks, be obedient, go. You guys see the difference? We can't be too safe, too comfortable, too complacent. The other thing that hinders vision is we can be stuck in past trauma. As I said before, Moses was stuck in trauma. Recognize that often what was needed to protect and heal you and to keep you alive is often different to what you need to go. Sometimes our trauma can make us not want to go and do our vision. We've been hurt, so I'm not going to do that. God has given you a vision to be a leader in this church. But last time you did it, you were hurt. So you're like, no, never again. What is God calling you to do?
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
What fresh vision is God giving you? Sometimes we've got to heal from our past trauma and still move on. And that leads into the next point. We can't keep looking backwards. It's very easy for us to look backwards. Oh, that's not the way we used to do things. We must face forward and glance backwards. Say that. Face forward, glance backwards. When you drive, there is a reason that the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield. Why? Because you're meant to glance backwards. We still need to glance backwards. Look back at what God has done. Learn from mistakes. Learn from our reflections of the past. But you've got to be looking forward. Look forward to what God is going to do. God will do a new thing in your life.
Yeah.
But you can't perceive it if you keep looking backwards. Look forwards, glance backwards. Propel your purpose forward. So what vision is God giving us at Crofton Park? What vision is he giving us at Crofton Park? Our vision as a church should always be rooted in hope and not just survival. Our vision should be huge because our God is huge. We shouldn't just look to hoard and protect and stay in the same place. We should have a big vision. What picture comes to mind when you're praying for a vision? Can I share with you what God I think is sharing with me?
Yeah.
I'm still listening and praying for a full vision for this church. I'm still listening. I'm still praying. But I saw something attached to Crofton Park that stirred something in me. I saw Crofton Park. I saw the name, Crofton Park Baptist Church. And I saw the tagline. What's the tagline?
Building bridges.
Building bridges. Building bridges. And that bridges, that stirs something within me. Bridges. For those broken and sick, I see us as a bridge to the healer. For those hurt and in despair, I see us as a bridge to the great comforter. For those who do not yet know Jesus and who are living in sin, I see us as a bridge to salvation. I don't know the full vision, but that thing about building bridges, I think is a beautiful image. Is God saying something here?
Yeah.
A bridge. A bridge is consistently and deeply connected to both sides, right? It wouldn't be a bridge otherwise. I see a church that is consistently connected to God and connected to the needs of his people. A bridge stands firm and will not be moved by the winds and the environment. I see us as a church that holds firm to biblical principles and the word of God and is not moved by the wind of the world. Hallelujah. A bridge is easily accessible. I see us as a church that welcomes and embraces all kinds of people and embraces them in the intercultural and intergenerational expressions of worship. A bridge rises above the terrain. And I see a church that has high standards and operates in excellence, both in the pursuit of righteous living and in mission. A bridge goes as long as it has to reach the other side. And I see us as a church which endures. A church that is resilient. A church that does what it needs to in adversity, but a church that is patient in prayer. A bridge. Crofton Park building bridges. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What is the vision that God has given you? That's just a picture that I thought God has shared with me. But he's going to be talking to you. We're praying, Lord, give us a fresh vision. So, church, I want you to be thinking hard about what vision is God saying, what picture is God putting in my heart about my family, about myself, and about this church. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for vision. We desire as a church and as individuals to take hold of the vision that you have for us. And we pray that you would lead and guide us to take a collective step of faith in the direction that you would have us to go. Help us, we pray, to grasp the vision that you have for us, and may we be sensitive to your leading and guidance. Prevent us from seeking to implement our own inferior ideas. Prevent us from seeing our own substitute. Let us see your plans and your purposes. We pray that the vision that emerges in our hearts will have been prompted by the Holy Spirit for the work of your kingdom to praise and glorify your name. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just praise God for vision, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for vision, Lord. Thank you. Give us vision. Give us vision. Amen.
Amen.